This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
Welcome to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh!
America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
No shifts here for the Rays. Loud to the right of second in the pitch. Swinging a pop fly shallow right. Charging Margot. He is under it. And the Tampa Bay Rays have just won the American League pennant. For the second time in franchise history, the Rays are on their way to the World Series.
The call on the Tampa Bay Rays radio network last night, and the Rays are indeed headed to the World Series. Welcome, Tom Ackerman with you in Cardinals Nation, St. Louis, Missouri, here, not inside the restaurant itself. Can't wait till we get back there eventually. Can't wait to get the Cardinals back to that spot, the World Series. Haven't been there since 2013. We have been very fortunate. I don't want to say spoiled. I don't like saying spoiled. I think the Cardinals franchise has held to high standards, and people want to get back to the World Series every year. But we've been very fortunate. Since 2000, the Cardinals have been to the postseason 14 times. They went to the World Series in 2013, won it all 2 years before that in 2011. But since then, they have not been able to get back. Last year, made it to the NLCS and got whitewashed by the Washington Nationals. Just couldn't get any offense going. And this year, the offense was not there. And although at times we did see some sparks out of Paul Goldschmidt for sure and some other spots along the lineup, but from a 1-9 standpoint, and we can point to a lot of things because of that, COVID-19 certainly took its toll on this team, and the accomplishment to get back on the field was major. And you'll never really know how much it took out of some players and how exhausted the players were after playing all of those doubleheaders. But the facts are facts, and Cardinals fans hold this team to a standard, and they want this team to hit better and play better overall, and that Tampa Bay team does that. They are a very, very good baseball team and organization. They continue to turn over prospects into very good players, and in this case, they swiped one of the Cardinals' best prospects and ended up putting him into the ALCS MVP podium. Randy Arozarena is remarkable. We will talk about him with Kevin Wheeler at 11:30. I know people are anxious to hear from Kevin, who was very much pro Arozarena, as was I all of last year. Matthew Liberatore, I mean, I see people tweeting he better be Sandy Koufax. I mean, that's a lot to put on a kid, okay? This is a trade that at this point has worked in the Rays' favor. By the way, I would have loved to have seen Jose Martinez celebrating with that team last night. And Martinez was sent to the Cubs late in the regular season. He was such a great Cardinal, and I'd love to see him get a taste of the World Series. But anyway, I am very, very happy for Randy Arozarena, very happy for everybody with the Rays, super happy for Pete Fairbanks, the closer for the Rays, who's from Webster Groves. He had Tommy John surgery when he was a junior in high school. Came back from that, went to the University of Missouri, and was drafted by the Texas Rangers. And last night he closed out the ALCS and won the pennant for the Rays. That is a great story, and a congratulations to all of his friends and family, some of whom may be listening this morning. Pretty happy, I got to say, for the Tampa Bay Rays from this standpoint also. They beat that cheating, lying Houston Astros team that in a lot of ways just, you know, kept piling on after the players were not punished like a lot of people thought they should have been, and the manager and general manager were fired. the players like Carlos Correa, who popped off during spring training, put a sour taste in not only fans' mouths, but also players. And I am not going to sit here and say that I'm not happy that the Rays beat the Astros. I am. I'm also happy that the Astros are out. I am. I'm very pleased that that happened. I'm not. It's hard to watch Randy Arozarena succeed if you're a Cardinals fan. It is. And I, again, personally happy for him. Absolutely. I love seeing him dancing and having fun. But you wonder why that did not happen here. And for that matter, you know, it's hard. You'll see Luke Voit and Marcell Ozuna and all these people in the postseason. Tommy Pham. And the list continues to grow. So we'll talk it over with Kevin Wheeler. We're going to use a clear head here at 11:30 and really dig into that. I'm not going to fly off the handle. I am not going to have a knee-jerk reaction. Of course, I'd like to. I'd like to say that, you know, that this is terrible. But it is also baseball. And I'd like to, as Whitey Herzog told me in the interview last week, he made me feel a little bit better when he said, Tom, hindsight is a hell of a lot better than foresight. He's right. It's a lot easier to see behind you and what the Cardinals should have done and should not have done and what John Mozeliak should and should not have done with his trades than looking forward. And he continued to tell us that Matthew Liberatore is going to be a good pitcher, and he hears that not only from people within the Cardinals but from other organizations. Doesn't make it any easier to see these former Cardinals dancing around and having fun, and Randy Arozarena did that. He is a remarkable talent. He's not going to go quiet anytime soon. He's going to have a very, very good career. So we can sit here and mope about it, or we can decide what the Cardinals need to do to be better. Is it time for them to be more aggressive? Do they need to evaluate, reassess what their talent evaluation looks like? All of those things are fair questions, and we will definitely get into it with Kevin Wheeler at 11:30. Okay, so the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Braves 3-1, and the Braves have to be feeling pretty anxious here tonight, as Joe Buck will call the game on Fox tonight for the Braves and the Dodgers from Arlington, Texas. I don't know what happened to the Braves, except that their offense went quiet at the wrong time. The Dodgers are starting to establish their superiority. They are a very good team from top to bottom. It still makes for a fascinating game. I think that the Braves are a young, fearless team. I love Marcell Ozuna, always have, had a great relationship with him here in St. Louis. And I was disappointed to see someone that I do respect on, because he's one of our insiders on radio.com, John Heyman, who writes for MLB Network, said, not trying to stir the pot, but you have to wonder about Marcell Ozuna. It's a great one-year contract, and he'd never looked happy in St. Louis. Like, why would you say something like that? Of course that's stirring the pot, John. I mean, you say something like that, and it's just not true. I mean, Ozuna said himself that he wanted to come back to St. Louis. The Cardinals and Ozuna could not come to a long-term agreement. I witnessed it with my own eyes in the clubhouse. He loved being with this team. He enjoyed being. He and Yadier Molina would crack a beer after the game and chat. He loved Yadi as a teammate. Like, why wouldn't Marcell Ozuna enjoy being part of the Cardinals organization? He was hurt for part of his time here, if people remember. Also, the DH is a very welcoming spot in the National League, and took takes a little bit off. He was playing in left field with a bad shoulder, and had lost his fielding capabilities and definitely his throwing. So I'm not going to sit here and say that he was disappointed that to be a Cardinal. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He's having a great year. He's back to his big time producing days, feeling good and having fun. And I'm very happy for Ozuna as well. The Cardinals moving forward, we'll discuss it again with Kevin Wheeler at 11:30. At 10:45, Travis Ford is the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens, and he'll be with us to talk some hoops. 11:05, Danan Hughes, the radio analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the NFL full slate, we'll get into that with Danan, one of the best guys in the business. 11:30, we'll have Wheels. It's the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, Frank Viverito. One of the things we talked about on the Garage Happy Hour is we need more regionalism around here. Enough of back and forth. And I understand, I hear the sides. People in the county Some don't want to associate with the city. Some in the city don't want to associate with the county. Well, guess what? It's time for us to have this conversation again and to talk about being together and coming together as a region. That is part of the conversation with Frank Viverito coming up, including some huge announcements about NCAA events on the way. The NCAA loves St. Louis. They love the sports commission and the leaders here in town that make huge events happen. And it's going to bring a lot of money into the city and a whole lot more. We'll get into it with Frank Viverito coming up next. Great show lined up for you. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. It's 10:15. Back after this.
From KMOX Sports, here's the pitch. Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The Garage Happy Hour every Thursday at 5:30 on Facebook Live, the KMOX Sports and KMOX News Facebook pages. We have had a lot of fun over the last 6 months with some incredible guests, but we also touch on some very important topics, and I thought this was a big one. I always wanted to have this guy on. He's a close friend, but it would hit me when the news came out of all these NCAA events that are coming to St. Louis over the next 4 or 5 years. Got to have him on. And here he is, Frank Viverito.
Well, I'll tell you, it's great to have you. I really appreciate you coming on the Garage Happy Hour. We have a lot of people that were excited when I rolled it out that you were coming. And I think that you connect with a lot of people. You're not even from St. Louis. And look at this. I mean, you know what? We've had a long history of great people in St. Louis who are not from St. Louis. I know it's always seems like we're this like close knit, where'd you go to high school crowd. Jack Buck's not from St. Louis. You know, he grew up outside of St. Louis. I could go to, outside a long list of Bob Costas and on it goes.
Stan the man.
Stan Musial, Pennsylvania. You know, so this is my New York friend, Frank Viverito. And I am. Yep. And I'm so happy that he's with us. He's the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, but let's make no mistake about it. You are a St. Louisan through and through. And I want to say this right away in all seriousness, and I have fun with you constantly.
Yes.
But I appreciate what you do. We are going to talk about the positives and the negatives of what goes on with our awesome city. We love our city, but we know that just like anybody or anything that we love the good and the bad. And so we're going to talk about that. But I love what you do, Frank. You fight for us. And in this year where we're really, just like a lot of cities, struggling, you have fought for us and you have come up with not one, not two, but 5 NCAA events awarded to St. Louis yesterday. That's exciting.
Yes, it is exciting. And I'll tell you that I have lived in St. Louis for 38 years. I got my baptism in St. Louis. I learned about St. Louis from a guy named Jack Carney. Okay. That's the first thing that's the thing I did every day when we moved here. We moved here for Patty's job. And so I was, you know, riding my bike and taking walks in the Central West End. But every day I would listen to Jack Carney, and he taught me about St. Louis. And it's, you know, KMOX has always had a soft spot in my heart. And, you know, it's an honor to do what I do in this community because it is such a great sports town. And we always say, you know, a great sports town and all that. But if you put the history of St. Louis sports, all sports, up against the history of any other city in this country, I'll take St. Louis. And it's not, you know, just, you know, boosterism to say it's the best sports town in the country. By that measure, I absolutely believe that it is. And yes, we did come away with some really good events from the NCAA bid process. Yesterday, the one I've been using the word elated about is the Frozen Four. And I had a conversation with Stu Durando from the Post-Dispatch yesterday, and he used this line in the paper today. It was the most requested event in my 25-plus years at the Sports Commission.
Wow.
when are you going to get the Frozen Four back? I've heard that, you know, I won't say every day, but if, you know, when I go out to speak and when we talk about, you know, what events do you want to see in St. Louis, Frozen Four, when is the Frozen Four coming back? And the group that asked as much as any are St. Louis University Billiken hockey players from back in the 70s, the Bill Selman coach teams. And I have to tell you that when we're talking about the Frozen Four, and when I talk about the Sports Commission and St. Louis as a sports town, I like to think in terms of narratives, okay? And the hockey narrative in St. Louis is amazing, you know, and I don't even have to repeat the events. You know them better than anybody, but, you know, the Winter Classic, the Stanley Cup parties and parades, the All-Star game, now the Frozen Four, the number of local young players who have been drafted and are in the NHL, the Centene Ice Center, the renewed, rejuvenated Enterprise Center, the incredible work that the Blues do in the community, the development of sled hockey, girls hockey, kids hockey, on and on and on. That is a heck of a narrative.
It really is. You know, in Centene Community Ice Center, you're going to have the men's regional there. You have the Frozen Four the following year in 2025. Last had it here in 2007. Boston College, and that when I was there, enjoyed that very much, and love the atmosphere. I love being on display. I think that's part of us here in St. Louis. We just like showing off a little bit. So we like the fact that, especially in the Northeast, where there is a very strong college hockey presence, but also in the Big Ten and, you know, the northern states of Michigan and Wisconsin, that St. Louis will be on display for the hockey world. And you just mentioned the NHL credentials. It's true. I mean, we are 1 year, five first rounders in the NHL draft. This is becoming a hockey city, and that's a big step forward. And then there's the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. That's the following year in 2026, the Missouri Valley Conference, which has hosted like 19,000 of these. Actually, it's like 19, I think, has been amazing, and they are considered. I like the fact, of course, I'm a college basketball junkie, but I like that when people think of basketball, they also think of St. Louis, and the Valley has a lot to do with that.
Really? Where did you go to school, by the way?
I don't even, I wish that.
No, you don't answer. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Can I go back to hockey for just a minute?
Please do.
Okay, the 07 Frozen Four. You mentioned Michigan State and Boston College in the finals. Do you remember the other two teams?
Maine
with who in goal?
Oh, gosh. Who was in goal for the Black Bears?
Oh, come on, Tom.
Who was it?
Ben Bishop.
Oh, Ben Bishop was on it. I should have known that. All right, so Maine.
How could I have forgotten that, honestly? How could I have forgotten that Ben Bishop was on that team? Also, on North Dakota, who was the fourth team to make that Frozen Four, TJ Oshie was a member of the team. More with Frank Viverito when we come back, talking a little hockey with him. That's not all. The Frozen Four, college basketball, a lot, and Olympic sports also surrounding St. Louis. But we'll get into a few other topics with him. Don't forget Travis Ford, speaking of hoops. The Billikens coach is with us at 10:45, back in a moment on KMOX.
From KMOX Sports, here's the pitch. Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
This is going to make some people mad, but I don't really care. We have to be more regional. We just have to embrace. The city's got to embrace the county, and the county's got to embrace the city, Frank. I mean, it's tough for me because I have friends on both sides. But I'm telling you that the first thing I heard when St. Louis City SC came out with their name was like, oh, city. Like, right. What are you talking about? This is our city. This is our city. That's right. Your downtown if you live in Wentzville or if you live in Belleville. That's yours. I mean, it's our city. Why are we like that?
It's very troubling to me that you said you were going to make people, some people, angry by saying what, because that should absolutely not be the case. And you know, there are reasons for it, you know, that we are not structured properly, you know, as a region. Way too many municipalities and people grow up in way too small a world. Now, it makes for great suburbs, but it doesn't make always for a great region. And we have to cooperate. We have to consolidate. You know, we don't even often think of how many ways that this hurts us. You know, the crime statistics are one thing, but our little world of bidding for events, I say this a lot. We have done a great job of replicating almost the exact same rec center in every St. Louis County municipality. And we haven't built any of the facilities that places like Overland Park, Kansas, and Cooperstown, New York have built to host events, traveling events for young people. And you always hear that when the economy is down, the first things to start back up are our kids' sports, because that's, you know, there's always going to be a few dollars for the kids to play because it's that important. And so, you know, we just haven't even, we haven't developed the right facilities in the community. You know, we have too much that's spent on duplication and waste. And you know, St. Louis, downtown St. Louis is a sports hub. And we all come downtown to watch those games, and it doesn't matter if it's the Rams or the Battle Hawks or the Blues or the Cardinals or St. Louis City. I mean, as you said, this is our town.
It is our town for sure. Frank Viverito, your office actually overlooks that new MLS stadium site. That's pretty sweet. I was in your office for that St. Louis Sports Commission trivia night. I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to stand right here and look at this for a while.
Carolyn Kendall Betts is joining our board, and I asked her if she could please make sure the roof of the stadium is low enough that I can watch the games from my desk. I've worked downtown now since April of 1984, and, you know, it's... I love St. Louis. I love downtown, but it's too often a step ahead and a step back. And, you know, we're hopefully finally building the critical mass, you know, that we absolutely have to have there. And, you know, you start from the Arch and work west and Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium you know, the Enterprise Center, Union Station, the Aquarium, the MLS Stadium, the hotels. You know, we have to make that as vibrant as we possibly can, walkable, safe. We could spend the whole hour talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, safe is a huge word for sure. I mean, we've got to make it safe. And we could get, I'm not going to get into a whole hour of talking about, you know, all of those issues that are going on with crime and safety, but we absolutely have to. And I know that you've been involved in some of those talks and have heard some of those discussions about how to make the city safe for sports fans. The more people going on in one area, you don't see it's... You know, I get concerned when I see downtown as empty as it is. There's going to be rampant crime and issues going on when there are a lot of people walking around. Perhaps less so, but still, you're putting people at risk if it's not safe.
You need density. You need light. You need activity. You need, you know, retail. You need residential. I mean, we have a lot of work to do, and one of the ways that happens more easily is if it's a regional approach and not just city approach, because the city has many needs and they're going to be addressed better in a regional way.
Frank, what about, you mentioned the gymnastics, and I want to talk about that and the U.S. Olympic time trials for swimming as well. So gymnastics got rescheduled, right, to June of 2021, and the swimming, you don't have it yet, but you're talking about filling these huge pools inside the dome in America's Center, and that you learn in February, I believe, whether you get that or not.
Right. But that can't just be one question. OK, like we have to unpack that.
Let's discuss all of that. The Olympics, that is, you know, we are the site. I know this means a lot to you, too. We're the site of the 1904 Olympics. We're in Olympic City. And I know that you always make a push to keep those Olympic sports going.
Yes, we are America's first Olympic City. And, you know, you're the trivia master at trivia night. Of course, you know what the most incredible distinction from the 1904 Olympics was, right?
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Yeah.
So we were the first American city.
Well, it goes a little bit beyond that. One of the innovations of the 1904 games, gold, silver, and bronze medals. Okay. And you wouldn't even know that if you look in the history books, because you'd see gold, silver, and bronze awarded at the first games in Athens in 1896 and in Paris, the second Olympiad in 1900. But gold, silver, and bronze weren't awarded in those games. They were only retroactively awarded after the 1904 Olympics. So gold, silver, and bronze medals were born here. And yes, we use that as a way to distinguish St. Louis and as a way to sell St. Louis when it comes to bringing Olympic-related events here. And the two that we're going to talk about, the Olympic gymnastics trials and the Olympic swimming trials, are two of the biggest American Olympic events. And you're right, the Olympic gymnastics trials were set for June of 2020. They have been rescheduled for June 24 to 27 of 2021, and not just what we call artistic gymnastics, which is what everybody knows from the Olympics, but also rhythmic gymnastics, trampoline and tumbling, and a couple of other gymnastics disciplines will all have their national championships in St. Louis the week before Simone Biles takes the stage, and a National Gymnastics Congress will take place in St. Louis. So huge economic impact. Hopefully, if we can get you know, fans back on planes and in arenas by the end of June. So a wonderful event. And, you know, and when you're talking about Simone Biles, one of the greatest athletes who's ever lived, you know, you're talking about electricity and excitement, you know, that we treasure from our big events. And, you know, and the person who comes to mind when I think of Simone Biles, not because they're the same size, but is Jackie Joyner Kersee in terms of the stature that Jackie and Simone have in the Olympic movement and among the greatest athletes of all time. So I can't wait until next June. It's going to be incredible. Four nights of television on and go off the community, you know, a sold out Enterprise Center will just be, you know, right up there among the great events in our sports history.
That is pretty amazing. That's Frank Viverito, the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, with me. Great to have him along. So the Olympic team trials, June 24th through the 27th next year at Enterprise Center. The event was officially sold out before its postponement, by the way. It'll be fantastic. It's going to bring a lot of attention to St. Louis and a lot of money, too, potentially. If St. Louis gets the U.S. Olympic team trials in swimming in 2024, you just look at what Omaha did 4 years ago. It was a $74 million impact for Omaha. $74 million just for getting that swimming trials event to come to St. Louis. He also announced the Frozen Four, the first and second rounds of the NCAA men's basketball tournament in 2026, Frozen Four in 2025, women's golf championships, men's and women's tennis championships for Division II, Division III, respectively, men's hockey regional in 2024 at Centene Community Ice Center. Also should direct you to musealawards.com. Go to the musealawards.com. They are going to be holding the Museal Awards this year. It will be an event on CBS Saturday, December 26th, but there's a lot leading up to that, and very, very special to read and hear more about the Museal Awards in honor of Stan's 100th birthday. And if you want to watch the whole interview, it's at Facebook Live on the KMOX Sports and KMOX News pages with President of the St. Louis Sports Commission, Frank Vivarito. Really enjoyed having him and spoke of some important topics there, but the interview itself is about 40 minutes, so we did just about half of it there. When we come back, a live discussion with the head coach of the Billikens, Travis Ford, is next on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
From KMOX Sports,
here's the pitch. Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. Joining us live is the St. Louis Billikens, Travis Ford. Coach, thank you so much taking your time out of the day for joining us. You're practicing today, aren't you?
Oh, we are. It's great to be on with you, Tom. It's this is the first weekend of practice. We had actually went twice yesterday, doubled up, we're going once today. It'll probably be a little longer. Doing a lot of teaching early, but it's always an exciting weekend when you're starting the season off practice-wise.
I bet it is. I saw that you had a DJ in there for your players during the last of your workouts. That gets them going, I know, and now you have the formal practices and everything happening. But I know that that you can only have so many practices, right? So you wanted to make sure that you were going full bore as the season got going.
Yeah, you know, look, the DJ was kind of a reward for him. It was the last day of preseason workouts. We had a really good preseason, so it was just something kind of fun to lighten the mood a little bit. They enjoy that, so that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, the new rule, as far as we're in official season now, the rule is you go 42 days back from your first game, and that our first game is, it can be the 25th now, or when the season starts, which is the 25th of November. You go back 42 days, and that's the first day you can practice. You have to take off 12 out of those 42 days. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. I chose to take off the first 3 days to get three off days right under our belt. You know, so we started yesterday, which allows me to go 3 or 4 days in a row as we head into our first game. So that's kind of how we planned it out for our season.
You know, I've been following this team my entire life, and with all respect to the coaches and programs that have been here, I'm not sure I can remember a team on paper going into a season that's this good. And, you know, you have a lot of scoring and rebounding, and I should say defense back. This is a tenacious defensive team. I think I know you pretty well, and I do hear about your practices and the intensity of them, and I would probably say that the better your team, the higher expectations you have, therefore you're going to push them even harder. I would imagine that these guys are going to work as hard as they've ever worked.
Yeah, you got that right, and that's something we talked about prior to starting our practice yesterday. We talked a little bit about, you know, yeah, some people may call it expectations, some people, you know, the possibilities of this team. We talked to them about, yes, we do have a lot returning. This is where our defense was last year. This is where our offense was last year. We talked about our free throws. We talked about a lot of positives and negatives. And what we told them is only thing that matters is right now. We can learn from the past. We can learn from last season where we had a lot of good. Our defensive numbers were some of the best in the country. Our rebounding numbers were some of the best in the country. But we were poor free throw shooting. We fouled too much. We need to get better at stopping the three defensively. We need to make a few more jump shots. And then we talked about, you know, again, about what people are saying about our team. And as we told them, that doesn't matter. We learn from the past, and we worry about getting better and winning today. We've got to get better every single day and be humble enough to understand that we've been a good team, and we're striving to become great. We're trying to go from good to great. And only way to do that is we've got to push these guys and get them out of their comfort zone every single day and develop habits that when the ball's thrown up on our first game, that it becomes just absolute instinct. And the only way to do that is just we got to get after it every single day.
I love that line. Tommy Pham, one of my favorite Cardinals to talk to, always said that every time I saw him in the clubhouse, I'd say, Tommy, how you doing? He said, I'm good, trying to be great. I love that. I love it so much. So tell me, can you paint a picture of what these practices look like from a protocol standpoint? I know that masks are being worn, and you know that doesn't change the way that you coach necessarily. You're coaching the game of basketball, but you do have to be cautious, don't you?
Very. That's our first priority, is to keep all these young men, coaching staff, everybody, players, keep them safe and as healthy as we can. We have very strict guidelines as far as testing is concerned, wearing masks. We're not using our locker rooms at all. We have chairs set up throughout the arena that are socially distanced. That's where our players come in, get dressed. That's where they sit down to when we get a water break. Things like that. So no question, it looks a lot different. It is a different day as far as that is concerned. And we're doing everything we can. We listen to our doctors. We talk to our local doctors quite often. I had a great conversation with our doctors just Friday of last week to just gain more information as we head into these practices that we're going through to make sure we are doing everything correctly. It is. It's tough, but it's a necessity that we do these things.
Understood. And I'm not really sure, and maybe you can let us in on some of it here, what your scheduling looks like and travel and all of those things. I know that this is across the board in sports, even with the bubbles. There was a lot of discussion back and forth as to what was the right thing to do. What can you tell us right now about what your schedule looks like?
Yeah, well, first, it's been interesting. The last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, we had an incredible schedule put together that finished up, and we probably finished it in mid-June. Just a really, really challenging schedule. We really had to just wad that up and throw it away about 3 weeks ago and start from scratch, because they came out with a new start date for the first game, which went from November the, I think, 5th to November the 25th. And they went from 13 non-conference games to now we can play 9 non-conference games. So we've kind of had to start from scratch. We are almost finished with it. Looks like we're going to start in a pod or bubble, whatever you want to call it, where 16 or so teams get together at the University of Nebraska. And there's going to be some really strong competition there. So we're looking to probably get 2 or 3 games there. That's where we'll probably start our season. What it looks like to travel, that's still to be determined, how you do that, what it looks like at the hotel. We're still figuring all that, those things out as we look ahead. And then we've got about five or so non-conference games here in December at Chaffetz Arena. And I know our administration, Chris May, athletic director, is working really hard with the city to try to determine if we can have fans. I'm hoping it looks very positive that at some point we can have a percentage of fans in the arena for the month of December, and then we head into January for conference play. Now, I've thrown all this out, but we all know everything is day-to-day. Anything could change at any given moment.
I really appreciate the information, and I totally understand. And having dealt with the Cardinals very closely as their broadcast partner, you know, trying to figure it out was literally a day-to-day experience. Final thing for you before we go, I should ask you about the health of your team outside of COVID. I know that you had a couple of injuries that kind of led into this season, but it sounds like mostly healthy, right? And I know that Gibson, Jimerson, and Fred Thatch losses were tough last year.
Yeah, they were. But it's exciting to have these guys back. Fred is practicing 100%, feels really good right now, playing really well. Obviously, he brings us a great defensive presence. I think could be one of the elite defenders in our league. He's doing well. Gibson Jimerson, same thing, back, practicing at 100%, knocking down shots. So doing well. Both these young men have responded to all their treatment, all their rehab, and have come back very, very strong.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us, and I hope to be able to catch up with you, if not weekly, as often as we can leading up to the start of the season. It's great to have you on KMOX as always, Coach. Thanks for doing this.
No, my pleasure. Look forward to catching up again soon. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you. There's the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens, Travis Ford, with us on Sports on a Sunday morning. Always good to catch up with him and his program. A lot of SLU fans listening, I know that. When we come back, we'll talk some football with Dane and Hughes, the radio analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs. Kevin Wheeler at 11:30. We're really going to get into this Cardinals team and how it should look in 2021. That's coming up. Our producer is James O'Sullivan. I'm Tom Ackerman. Sports on a Sunday morning continues after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.